God is good. So this morning, I'm going to come and I'm going to share with you just a little bit about fasting and prayer. While we are on the subject and while we are going forward, I just want to share with you, why do we fast? Fasting brings God's plan in action. Who needs something from God this morning? Great stuff. Who's not fasting? So, just yet again, who needs something? Who's not fasting? You better start fasting. Because fasting brings God's plan into action. So, just before we start, I just quickly want to share with you, yes, we have given out the information of how to fast and how to do the Daniel fast, but there is different ways you can fast. You can do the fast with us in this manner, in the Daniel fast, or you can start fasting your coffee, or you can fast TV, or you can fast sugar, or you can fast something that you can not leave. For those who still smokes, you can fast your smoking. Don't do it again. Keep it fasting. Do an everlasting fast. Whatever you need God to release you for, start trusting God. Start believing God that He can do it. He is your provider. He gives you the strength. If you can't do this fast with us, it's fine. If you want me to talk to you in regards to what else you can fast, come talk to me. I would really love to just sit with you and just talk about it. Because after this morning, you're going to see fasting is necessary. You don't have to do a 21-day fast every time. You can do a one-day fast. You can do 7 days. If you're not going to do 21 days with us, it's fine. Whatever God shares with you, do it. But the congregational fast, we're going to do 21 days. And we really encourage you to push through this 21 days. And I have to say, it's one of the most, it's really the easiest fast you can get, is to do 21 days. Who agrees? Right? 21 days is easy. If it was easy, everybody would have done it. Everybody would have received God's blessings. Everybody would just flourish. Everybody would just have everything. Because it's not easy. God is looking for your faithfulness. Amen? Great. So, if you do have your Bibles with you, please page for me to Acts 13 verse 2. We're going to read there, but I'm going to reference back to it quite a few times. And so you can keep your finger on Acts 13 verse 2. So Acts 13 verse 2 comes this morning and it says that as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So just to check here first is, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, what does that mean? They were busy praying to the Lord and they were already fasting. Keep that in mind. And then the scripture goes on and it says, the Holy Spirit said to them, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Who knows that they are called? Everybody, because I've said this repeatedly. If you haven't listened, you need to go back to my sermons. You are all called. Called to do what? To share the word of the Lord, to share the good news. You are all called. That is your absolute, absolute first calling, is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where He said, go out. He sent us all. He didn't just send one or two. He sent everybody. So, first thing I want to start this morning is fasting brings God's plan in action. First, I want to start with fasting brings a companion. Who knows what is that companion? Fasting as a companion. Let's read in Acts 14, verse 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Get it yet? Not yet, not yet. Okay, next scripture. no. Next scripture. Luke 2, verse 37. Oh, sorry, Acts 14, verse 2. Did it go for now? Here we go. I'm sorry, I skipped one. Luke 2, verse 37. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers in night and day. So the companionship for fasting is prayer. What is prayer? Communication with God. Speaking to God. So I'm saying this morning, and I'm going to really lay it out very basic. I'm telling you this morning that when you are fasting and you are not talking to God, your fasting is basically meaningless. Because you are trusting the Lord for something specific. The Word of God, God comes and says, come to Him with fasting and prayers. God wants to hear your heart. He wants to see what you want. He has a desire for what you are about to ask Him. He knows what you need. It's not that. But the Word of God says, He says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So God is saying you need to draw near to Him first. And when He sees that you are faithful, when He sees your compassion, when He sees your desire, when He sees your needs, He says, I will come and I will meet them. But He needs to have that action from your side first. It needs to be released through your prayers, through what you do. So the second part in this is, where fasting, sorry, it's a bit slow today, is fasting is, the second part is hear from God. It's where we hear from God. So, fasting enables us to hear from God. Can we hear from God when we are not fasting? Absolutely, yes. We can hear from God when we are not fasting. But fasting is a way of showing God, I am serious. So, anybody of you who's got children knows the cries of your children. I know the cries of Marley and of Ethan, and just the other day, walking in the house, you hear a knock and it's like, ah, it's fine. He hurt himself, he can go on, it's okay, it's fine. And you know the cry. But then, just a while back, he started to cry again. But that leaped me off of my chair. Because it was a different cry. It was a cry of desperation. It was a cry in desperate need. It was a cry in, I need your absolute dearest attention. And you see, the same thing goes for us when we do fasting. It is our absolute cry in front of God. When we show Him, we need Him with absolutely everything we have. Fasting shows a dedication towards God, that we desperately need Him. Everybody knows that, and even when we go to our dogs, when they start barking outside, I know when they're just a nuisance. But when they start barking a certain way, I'll stand up and I'll have a good look. Because there's something. And when we fast, we release that something into the atmosphere. We show God we are we are serious. There we go. Thank you very much. So, The scripture comes in Acts 13 verse 2 and it says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and then the Holy Spirit said. So they were busy already ministering, talking to God, and they were already busy fasting. And then the scripture comes and says, then the Holy Spirit said. You see, while they were busy and showing God how serious they are, what happened? God heard them and he sent the Holy Spirit, said, this is what you need to do. So when we fast, we enable the Holy Spirit to come and talk to us because God sees we are serious. Amen? So, just a quick reference here is fasting is a call to God that declares that we would like to hear his voice. So fasting is a call to God that declares that we would like to hear his voice. Who wouldn't like to hear his voice? Amen. I would love to hear God's voice in an audible sound. Wow. But you can hear his voice through his scripture. You can hear his voice through soft whispers in your heart. You can hear him in multiple different ways. And you see, we need to get into those atmospheres for God to start speaking to us. God's not going to start talking to you while you're in the club. God's not going to start calling upon you when you sit in the pub. He can, definitely. He does. But the exception is not the rule. He does that with exceptions. You see, if you're in the wrong places, doing the wrong things, you can't expect God to start speaking to you. You need to start cultivating an atmosphere for God to start speaking to you. Now, when I'm saying you need to start cultivating an atmosphere, I'm not meaning you need to pull the heartstrings of God saying, listen here, Lord, I'm here this morning. Oh, just look here, I'm in church this morning, Lord. Lord, I've been worshiping for 2 hours. That's not cultivating an atmosphere. What I mean and what I'm saying about cultivating an atmosphere, it's coming into his presence more often, praying often, talking to him often, worshiping him often, so that you know his presence. Because while you are driving and while someone is on the phone with you and busy talking, God can speak to you while you are busy. And the atmosphere around you is not a churchy atmosphere. It's a business atmosphere. But you will recognize the Holy Spirit because of the presence you surround yourself in. And when you are busy still talking on your cell phone, God will say, tell this person this. Share with this, with them that. That is cultivating an atmosphere. Is that you should keep that atmosphere going the whole time. God is good. Fasting prepares your heart to hear from God because our heart is deceitful. But our heart comes to alignment when we fast. It comes to unity into showing that I have a need. I'm desperate for it. I've got an earnest hunger for God to speak to me, to share with me. It brings a clarification in mind. It encourages us. It gives us courage to move on, to go forward. When God starts speaking, who of you have heard the voice of God? Not maybe an audible word, but who has received a word from God? Who has received something from the Lord? Anybody? How did you feel after that word? When somebody prophesied something over you, how did you feel? When somebody speaks a word of encouragement to you, how did you feel? You felt encouraged. You felt light. You felt wonderful. Amen. You feel good. And that is what fasting brings. You see, because we have a hunger and a thirst. And when we hear the word of God, we get encouraged. But our people does not hear the word of God that often anymore. Because too much people walk around like this and I'm not encouraged to do anything anymore. Have you seen those people around you? That negativity around us. Not in our church, sorry, it doesn't happen here. it's outside. It's that side. It's over the mountains. Maybe that side. Sorry for those who stay that side. You see, we have a heaviness with us, but the Word of God says when we bring everything to Him, He will lighten our load. He will lighten everything. He will renew us. He will give us strength. You see, if you come into His presence enough, you will always be built up. Troubles may come. It will be like a duck, water just rolling off of you. You wouldn't care, you wouldn't mind, because you know and you trust in the Lord, because you hear His voice, you know His word, and you know that His promises is true. Amen. God is good. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Marley. See, if the congregation doesn't work together, my daughter will. Third thing comes is fasting consecrates us to Him. Fasting, dit vas wy ons toe tot God. Dit wy ons toe tot God. Fasting consecrates us. So, Acts 13 verse 2 says, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." The Holy Spirit comes here all of a sudden, just after they have fasted, they have prayed, they have talked to the Lord, and they want the Lord to speak to them. And the Holy Spirit comes now and He speaks to them, and now He consecrates them. Hy wy hulle toe om iets te gaan doen. He consecrates them for a work to go and do something. Who still wants to fast? Because now you have work. Nou is daar werk as jy klaar gevas het, nê? Nee. Nou is daar minder mense wat wil vas, want ek wil nie werk doen nie. Ek is baie besig. I'm already busy. Lord, I don't need more work. I know you don't need more work. You need more Jesus. Amen. God is good. Fasting is setting yourself apart for God. Fasting is setting yourself apart for God, for ministry work, for to enable you to go do the work. It's separating yourself, making an absolute dividing line between the world and child of God. Fasting makes that chasm bigger. This is the world. This is God. Because God has called you to be apart from this world. You are not of this world, but you are in this world. We need to surrender ourselves fully to Him. In this verse, we see the passion of the Lord for us when we see the Holy Spirit that said, you need to separate them. You see the passion. You see, Barnabas and Saul was on a journey that they were being sent on. Now, we know the end of this story, and we know what Saul did. We know what Paul did. Saul became Paul, and here at the moment, he was still Saul, but he became Paul, the guy that wrote 80% of the New Testament. Fasted and prayed, heard the Lord's calling, and said, yes, Lord, send me. Here I am. God came and He separated them for this specific work. Hy het hulle afgesonder. Wie wil afgesonder word vir God se werk? Yes. I want to be separated for God's work. Because when I do God's work, God blesses me as well. But when I do God's work and I see God working in people's lives, wow, it shows me that God is still in control. You see, sometimes we need a little bit of confirmation. We need a bit of, Here, ek wil ook sien. Ek wil ook glo. Here, write for me in a sign let an airplane come past and in the clouds write me a message. Now, that's the way we want our messages, amen? Who would love a message like that? Come on. I would love a message like that. It's like, yeah, I don't have to figure out anything. It's just small readings. Like, but yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. It would be amazing. But it doesn't happen like that always. See, God wants you to be separated from this world. He's dedicating you for a special task. You are called for a special task, for something special, something to do. And he wants to take you away so that he can consecrate to you, so that he can talk to you, so that he can share with you, so that he may show you what you need to do. You see, and when you have that, you'll have the faith to carry on, no matter what obstacle comes your way. Romans 12 verse 1 comes and says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Oh, ek like hierdie ding. In Afrikaans kom en sê, ek vermaan julle dan, broeders, by die ontferming van God, dat julle julle liggame stel as 'n lewendige, heilige en aan God welgevallige offer. Dit is julle redelike godsdiens. Aina, ouch, amen. But that's only your reasonable service to God. Your reasonable. God says your reasonable. What's reasonable? Just past. That's reasonable. You know, what's the pass rate these days? 30%. That's reasonable. He says, your reasonable service. What is your reasonable service? He says, your reasonable service is that that you would present your bodies as a living sacrifice. God sees it as reasonable that your body must be a living sacrifice for Him. If you do not sacrifice your body for food, fasting, you get where I'm going, great stuff. If you do not sacrifice, that you're reasonable. Further it goes and it says, a holy and acceptable to God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice, and a body acceptable to God. Wie wil sê eina? Wie wil sê amen? Wie wil sê ja, ek is daar? See, this scripture, hey, it hits me hard every time. Because it literally comes and it sets a standard which God is is setting us upon. And he says, this is just reasonable. This is not even over and above. This is not you doing more than I'm asking. This is you doing the bare necessities, is having your body as a living sacrifice. Who's going to come cut grass this week? I'm just joking. I'm going to share this next verses out of John 17, verse 14. It says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. You are not of this world. You're not in this world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. This is a prayer that Jesus is praying for God. He says, Lord, Jesus is saying to God here is that, Lord, I don't want you to take them out of this world. I just want you to protect them from the evil one. Hardships is going to come. Problems is going to come. Issues is going to come. You want to eat again? It's going to come. It's 21 days, and then you're going to start again. And then it goes on, and he says that they are not of the world, just as I am not of this world, because I'm a child of God. I am not of this world, because I have I am made new in his image. 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. God is sending you into the world. You need to consecrate your bodies. You need to consecrate your minds. You need to get yourself in an atmosphere where you can start working for God, doing something for his kingdom. The fourth and the final one this morning is fasting prepares us for what God has planned. It's preparation. So, Acts 13 verse 2 and says, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Fasting prepares us for what God has planned. God has a plan for your life. Do you believe it? Do you know it yet? Not yet. It's a good time to start praying about it when you're fasting. He's going to show you. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you for it. But you see, fasting prepares us for what God has planned. They fasted, they prayed, they consecrated, they separated them. They've done everything they have, and then they were sent out because God had a plan for them. You see, when you start praying and fasting, the plan of God will start moving a little bit faster in your life. Trust God for what he is about to do. Fasting humbles us and shapes our character so that we are prepared for what we are called to do. Speel vir my iets daarachter. Fasting, I just want to read this again. Fasting humbles us and shapes our character. Just want to stop there. Character shaping. You see, the character in your character shows when you are in dire need of things in life. Then character shows. Have you realized that? Your ware karakter kom uit wanneer jy desperaat is. Your true colors comes out when you are desperate. When we fast, it shapes our character. We are in dire need. But then when you are in dire need, you go to Christ. You go to God instead of this world. And then when you go to God, when you go to Christ, he will start shaping and forming your character so that we are prepared for what we are called to do. See, before Paul wrote any of his letters that helped shape our world, this event in Acts happened. Before Paul started his ministry, before Paul started writing his letters, before Paul started planting his churches, before all of that, this event in Acts 13 came into play. They fasted. They prayed. God consecrated them. God prepared them. And God sent them. I want to be a world changer for God. This moment, my world is the one closest to me, around me here. The vision God gave this congregation is not to be a mega church, not to be 1,000 or 600 or 2,000 or 10,000. Not at all. But we will have influence. We'll be a fairly small congregation. But out of this congregation, we will plant churches as we already done. 3 churches has been planted out of this congregation. Every time it builds up, it goes back down. But the buildup is always there. God sends the new people. God brings in the new phase. God brings in everything. You see, the passion is so that God's purpose can go forward. It's not to glorify us and to so that we can look nice and wow, this is a big, nice church. We don't care about that. I don't care about that. But this is what God has called us for. This is what He separated me for. This is what He was busy preparing me for. That's why we fasted before we came here. That's why we prayed before we came here. So that God can prepare me. No man. So that God gives me the direction. So that God gives me the power to go on. So that God gives me the vision. So that God can lead me. Because I cannot rely on people. Wherever Paul went, he took this exact same mission, this exact same method to all the churches. He consecrated the elders. He isolated them. They fasted. They prayed. And they became the ministers. You see, because that is the foundation if you want to be used by God. Separate yourself, consecrate yourself, get into fasting and prayer, and God will start showing you where you need to go. So just to recap this morning, jy moet maar agterklik asseblief. Summary, fasting has a companion. What companion is this? It's prayer. Fasting brings us into a position to hear from God. Fasting consecrates us. Fasting prepares us for what God has planned. Keep this in mind. Just for you guys, I know some of you taking notes and you're taking photos of the sermons and on our website, I load the sermon, but also my notes. If you want to go and download, and if you have to want to go and watch, you're more than welcome. And I want to end off with a scripture before we're going to do communion. It's Matthew 6, verse 16. It says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance." What does that mean? Moenie wees soos die ander met so 'n suur gesigte nie. Jogg, ek is besig om te vas, pastoor, maar jogg. Pastoor, I'm busy fasting, but jogg, I don't have power. Pastoor. The word of God comes and He says, don't do that. Nie self jammer kry nie. He says, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their face that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. If you want to show people you're fasting and, yo, I'm doing this and oh, I'm doing that and you know this and you know that and it's been this and it's been that, you have received your reward because your reward is then from man. Keep it to yourself. Fast. If the point comes where people say, nee man, eet saam met my. Who's the Afrikaans here? A lot of us is Afrikaans and you know the Afrikaans culture as well. But I think the English culture as well. If we eat, we eat. We want to feast. We don't want to just eat. We want to feast. And sometimes, you know, people get to be very persistent. Nee man, come on. Just a little bit. Just. Now, when you tell them then you are fasting, I promise you, very quickly, they will, oh, sorry. It's not to gloat or not to, but just to share with them, listen here, please don't pressure me further. This is what I'm busy doing. See, that's different towards you walking around like this. I've seen people like that. Scripture goes on and says, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now this morning we are starting our prayer and our fasting. And we have hardships. And I'm sharing this with the congregation. We started a little bit earlier than you, because we are relying on God for something very specific. He's consecrated us. He's given us a word. He has confirmed that word for us. And we are sitting this morning here with a desperateness to hear from God, so that His blessings may be poured upon us. Because whatever we do in secret, He will reward us openly. In this 21-day fast, we are asking you guys to pray with us for this congregation, where we are going, where we are moving in the near future. Because He's faithful. Because what you are doing in secret, He will reward in public. If you are fasting in secret for your working environment, for your sales, for your business, for your relationship, for your husband, for your wife, whatever it may be, whatever you do in secret, God will come and He will reward it in the physical. Stuff will start happening and stuff will start changing in your family, in your relationships, in your sales, in your business, wherever you go, wherever you rely and trust in the Lord. You don't need to tell them, I'm fasting for my work. Because whatever you do in secret, God will reward in the open for you. Because He's faithful.